Well, welcome to the fourth week of our series called Mind Matters. You know, a lot of people have negative beliefs, fixed mindsets, and harmful patterns of thinking that can hold them back from the life they were meant to live. It can hold them back from the life that they were meant to live. And so in this series, we're exploring how to turn those harmful attitudes into new ways of thinking. New ways of thinking and being and believing. Scripture says, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That means when you change your thinking, take on the mind of Christ, you'll take control of your faith and your life. Now, so far, we've talked about how to turn a defeatist mentality into a winning mindset by rooting out the lies of the enemy and replacing those lies with God's truth. We also talked about the advantages of taking on what I call an authentic mindset, becoming more open and honest with God, with yourself, and with other people about your struggles and what you're going through. Last week, we looked at reframing difficult situations, turning negatives into positives, so that we can remain the happy, talented, confident, creative, resilient, faithful people God made us to be, even in times of adversity. Now, today, I want to talk with you about another way of changing your thinking for the better. I want to talk with you today about detox your mind. Every day, we receive toxic messages from the media, coworkers, other people, sometimes even our own family members. And these negative messages can take root in our minds and grow like weeds. Little by little, they start to destroy the goodness and the beauty God created inside of us. And if we're not careful, we can start seeing the world as unsafe. You know, our other people as annoyances. Our work is meaningless, our families is dysfunctional, our lives as broken. Our minds can become filled with these landmines, you know, bad memories, what someone said, a critical telephone call or a critical email, blow-ups with other people, or mistakes and failures in the past that come back to haunt us, make us feel unsettled, uneasy, reliving the same old pain and hurt over and over again. But listen, those toxic thoughts, they do not belong in your mind or in your life. Just as I hope you sometimes declutter your garage, your basement, your closets at home, we also need to declutter what's inside our brains. Clear out the negative, hurtful thoughts and send them an irrevocable, non-negotiable, unequivocal eviction notice and detox our minds. Today, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we remember the oldest and highest ranking church in the world. It's called the Lateran Basilica, and dating back to the 4th century, it's commonly known as the mother and head of all churches. But it's not just about the physical building. Today also reminds us that the Church of God is really a living temple. And wherever the Holy Spirit dwells, God's church is active and alive. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, inside of every believer and follower of Jesus. This is why the Apostle Paul says in today's second reading, do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys this temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. This means that you have a divine protection over your life. You also have a divine duty to protect that temple living inside of you. When children are baptized, the priest will speak to the parents and godparents, and he gives them this instruction. He says, see to it that the divine life given to these children through baptism is kept safe from the poison of sin. This is what you and I are called to do every day of our lives, because God does not want anything to corrupt the beautiful temple living inside of us. He doesn't want anything to corrupt that beautiful temple. And that includes toxic, harmful, poisonous messages. In today's first reading, the prophet Ezekiel was given a vision by God to remind the people about how important their faith was at a time when the temple had been destroyed. They were living in exile and had lost their connection with God. And in this vision, the temple had been rebuilt, and Ezekiel saw water flowing out from underneath it. At first, it was just a trickle, but the farther along it went, the water grew wider and deeper, and the current became stronger like a fast-moving river. And wherever this water flowed, life sprang up. Trees began to grow and bear fruit. Fish filled the waters. The sea turned clean. Dead things came back to life. This is what God wants to do inside your mind. He wants his living water, the power of the Holy Spirit, to flow through you, washing away worry and cleansing old hurts and flushing out toxic thoughts. He wants to clear out the clutter, you know, the fear, the shame, the guilt, the bitterness, so that his living water can start to move in you again, and dead places you didn't even maybe know about inside you come back to life, and you become even more of God's living temple in the world. A couple of months ago, I traveled to the Dominican Republic with our team of missionaries. I think it's no secret, because I whined about it for weeks beforehand, that I had a lot of anxiety about going, mostly coming from my fear of spiders, especially big ones like tarantulas. I kept working myself up into a lather about it, you know, worried about it, and kept getting more and more nervous before the trip as it got closer. And when I got there, it wasn't any better. My arachnophobia wasn't any better. I dreaded every time I had to go back to my room by myself. I thought, what if there's a big fat tarantula there hiding, just waiting to attack me? What would I do then? Who would I call? I mean, there's no front desk, no concierge service, no bellman, no maintenance department. I'd be on my own. At night, when I came back after dinner, when it was dark, it would be even worse. I'd flip on the flashlight on my iPhone. I'd step inside. I'd shine the light on the walls, the ceilings, the floors. I checked under the bed. I looked in every closet, examined every nook and cranny. I am not exaggerating. It was quite a production. One evening, one of the team members came and told us all that he had just seen a tarantula in the hotel bathroom, the public hotel bathroom. Well, we all went to look, and on the way, I kept thinking, oh God, I can't believe my nightmare is finally going to come true. I can't believe this. But I knew deep down inside that I needed to see that monster with my own two eyes, to face my own fears. Well, one by one, we looked inside the door, peeked in there, and when it came to be my turn, I thought about running, getting out of there. But somehow, I worked up my courage, and I opened the door to the bathroom, and I looked inside like this, and this is what I saw. Right? I'm not exaggerating. That tarantula was huge, hairy, horrible looking. I didn't get a wink of sleep that night. I woke up every hour checking around the room. The next morning, I was like a zombie from the lack of sleep. And as I was walking to breakfast, thank God in the light of day, I passed by that same public bathroom, the hotel bathroom, and I saw a maid, one of the maids, go in to clean it. And so I thought I'd walk up and just see if maybe the tarantula was still there. And I stood at a distance, and I saw her take out her broom, and she brushed, swept that tarantula, still living, right outside onto the open pavement. Beat it to death with that broom, and then walk away. So I willed myself to walk over and just look at it one last time. And this time was a very different experience. It was so small, shrunken, not scary at all. In fact, I started feeling sorry for the little guy. Then I got mad. I was like, why? Why did it have to die? Why, God, why? But here's my point. Sometimes the thoughts in our own minds can feel like that tarantula, big, scary, overwhelming monsters. Maybe Maybe you've been running from some of those thoughts in your mind, afraid to face your own fears. You know, the guilt of past mistakes, what someone said, or these deeply rooted negative thoughts, you know, you're not good enough, everyone's laughing at you, or everyone's looking down on you, or you're never going to get over that illness, you're not going to get that promotion, and your marriage is over, nothing you can do about it. Listen, whatever those thoughts are, God is the one who has the final say. And when you have the courage to look inside, to face your fears, the fears of your own thoughts, and detox your mind, God will protect you from the poison of your own negative thinking. He will wash away those doubts, those distorted perceptions. He will pour the Holy Spirit into you, changing the narrative in your mind so that you can grow into a holy and living temple for Him, full of His glory, His power, His strength, and His holiness. This is what happened in today's gospel story. Jesus went into the temple and cleared out what did not belong. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers sitting there. And he drove them all. He made a whip out of cords, and he drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen. He spilled the coins of the money changers, overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." Now, those merchants and money changers, they were doing business inside the temple area. Why? Because many people traveled a long way to offer sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem. And instead of bringing their own, they would purchase sacrificial animals as the sacrifice in the temple. But before they could purchase those animals, they would need to change their regular money into temple money to pay the temple tax and to pay the merchants. That's why the money changers were there. The problem was that both the merchants and the money changers exploited the people, overcharged, took advantage of the out-of-towners. Also, they had set up shop in a place called the Court of Gentiles. It was the only area in the temple precincts where Gentiles, non-Jewish people, could worship God. And the merchants and money changers had brought in all that livestock and turned it into a noisy marketplace, preventing people from praying. It wasn't right, and Jesus knew he needed to clear out that negative influence, get rid of those toxic practices, and create a sacred, beautiful space for true and authentic worship. Now, when the religious leaders, the temple authorities, challenged Jesus over what he had done, he said something odd. If you noticed, he declared, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." Does that make sense? I will raise it up. It makes sense because he wasn't talking about the physical building. He was talking about the temple of his body, his resurrection after 3 days in the tomb. He was saying that no longer would God be confined to dwelling in a single building like a temple, but from then on would also dwell in the hearts, the minds, and the bodies of all believers, of you and me. And just like a cluttered temple cannot flow with living water, a cluttered mind cannot flow with faith. It cannot flow with faith. And if Jesus was not willing to put up with the clutter and corruption in a temple made of stone, why would you think that he would expect you to put up with that same kind of clutter and corruption in the temple of your mind? God wants to help you clear out that temple inside of you. He wants to help you clean out the negative, hurtful thoughts, the poison put there by the enemy, so you can become a sacred, beautiful space unto the Lord, flowing with clean, healthy, living water, bringing dead things back to life wherever you go. Our church operations manager, Lisa, I'm sure many of you know her, she told me this story about her great uncle, a man named Ollie. At a young age, he was diagnosed with colon cancer. And it was advanced, far along, and the doctors only gave him two choices. He could wear what's called a colostomy bag, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of his life. It would be easy, wouldn't really have to think about it, but he wouldn't be able to run or play sports or do the things other young men would typically do at his age. The other option was to learn a highly experimental, specialized, and sophisticated procedure to clean out his own system every few days by himself. The advantage was that he could still be active. The disadvantage was that it was time-consuming, complicated, and very difficult to learn. Well, Ollie chose the second option, and he lived well into his 80s. He ran marathons, he stayed active, even started a support group to help other men dealing with the same situation. Ollie would not allow toxic, negative, can't-do-it thoughts to limit his life. And he became known among his friends and his family members for a particular phrase that has inspired many people, including his great niece, Lisa, and now me. Ollie would always say this over and over again: attitude is healing. Attitude is healing. If you want to heal your thoughts and win the battle for your mind, attitude is everything. You have to create new trenches of truth in your mind instead of continuing to dig latrines of lies. You have to have the courage to detox your mind and constantly fill it with faith, God's word, and his truth. Worried about your kids or grandkids getting off course and hanging out with the wrong crowd? Look at what Scripture says. My children shall be mighty in the land. Struggling through a loss, someone walked away or passed away in your life, and you're feeling so lonely, wondering whether you'll ever get over it. God says, I am close to the brokenhearted. Struggling with that illness, the medical problem that won't go away, listen to what Scripture says. Let the weak say, I am strong. Not convinced that those dark thoughts and depression will ever lift from your mind? Turn it around. Take on a new attitude. Scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard, a banner of protection. Think your life will never change? Think again. Book of Isaiah, God says, I am doing something new. Do you not perceive it? God is going to vindicate you. He will have the victory over your mind and over your life. So stand tall, rebuke the enemy, call out the lies, detox your mind, and dig new trenches of truth from God's holy word that will lead you to confidence, to peace, and to victory.